Welcome to the November...
Recording in progress.
Sorry. I apologize. Ready now? Okay, we'll start again. Good evening, thank you for coming tonight. Welcome to the November 22nd City Council meeting. And as always, after we call to order, we start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Stalling, we'll let you lead tonight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Stalling. I appreciate it. Next, we have the roll call.
Koch.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Plocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Terulis.
Here.
Peterson.
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Mr. Peterson, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have no amendments to the agenda. Next, I have a presentation. First, we have Amy Sessis. I think I saw Amy here. Where's Amy? Amy, come forward. We have a presentation for you. So, Amy, I'm going to tell you a little something about Amy here. So, Amy and I, come forward. Come on. One last chance. When's your last meeting to count?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, you're going to
pass the
budget? Maybe. Is it going to have some money? Can you have some money for our Rob Roy drinking sister? Call that?
Well, we'll see.
Okay, anyway. So Amy has been on the park board for, right here since 2010.
Yeah.
12 years.
Been a while.
Yeah, so Amy and I met on the county board years ago. But Amy's been our park board president since 2010. Let me read this here. So, and then we're going to call one more. Since December 2010. Well, you weren't the president. You were the president. You were, okay, my apologies.
Yeah, that's what
was about. Well, let me read this one. I misspoke about the presidency. So, we have a certificate of appreciation. The mayor and city council of the United States of York will present this certificate to Amy Sessis with our deepest gratitude for the time she volunteered to our park board from December 2010 to November 2022. So, now, I will say this, Amy was elected to the county board. Was it November 2010?
Yes.
Yes. And Amy and I, believe it or not, all year, Amy and I, we'd fight like cats and dogs. We would. But in the end, she realized I was right.
No, not what happened.
Okay. But Amy, and Amy has been, she was a great county board member, she's been a fantastic park board member, and she's been president for how many years?
Couple years.
But here's what's amazing is, as you all know, it's hard to believe we've been coming up on 3 years of this COVID garbage. So a lot of places wanted to close down their parks and playgrounds during COVID. Amy said to me, "You keep them open." She did. She said, "Keep them open. Kids want to play." And I appreciate that to this day. So thank you. So congratulations, Amy's going to. You're gonna move out of state. Is what I've been told. Is that correct? Yeah. We're going to miss you. Yeah. You can zoom in. How are you zooming? You can zoom in.
I have to bother you from, a couple thousand miles away now.
Yes. So congratulations, Amy.
Thank you.
Okay, where's the picture? Great job. Well, oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Tim has something for her. I apologize. I didn't know.
Since you're moving to Arizona, and this is the mayor's favorite shirt.
Oh, no. I just remember us talking. Look at that. I love it. Fantastic.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you. You
are in Arizona, remember us all by.
Okay. This does look like one of yours, is it?
What do you have? Black people.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
You can sell that meat if you want.
So
quick photos. So oh, quick photos.
Yeah, so I do want to say something on that meeting about that.
Thank you, Mary.
Great. Well, so, remember when I used to come to like all the city council meetings and stand up and pontificate about all the stuff
I don't
I care about? I know, because you never used to come. And then all of a sudden, now you're mayor. So, I don't know how that happened. So, John's right. We met on the county board. Actually, I don't know if Scott is Switzer here.
No.
Scott Blazer was one of the people actually that convinced me to run for the board. And one of the things he said was that you're just going to love John Christel. Which right away I thought, I'm not going to like this guy at all. And then I started going to meetings. And then I was like, yeah, I don't like him. Don't like him. Now here we are, BFFs. We've been pretty good friends. And you're still sitting there straight face. I don't know why.
Well, you have a time limit.
Whatever. But now we're really good friends. I think you're doing an excellent job here as mayor. I know when you were elected, I talked to a few people that had questions about you, and everybody was, I should say everybody, people were concerned. And I think you've proven everybody that I was right in the idea that you were going to be great and give you a chance. With that, I leave you to Yorkville and my hometown that I really miss. 17 years here. And
17?
17 years. Longest I've lived anywhere. I've lived around a lot as a kid. And growing up, I always wanted to be a part of the community. And when we moved here, and I decided to get involved with my homeowner association board, started with that, so the HOA. And then I moved to the park board, and then on to the county. The city stuff has always been sort of my first love, and I ran against Ken at one point. I would be knocking on doors. Oh yeah, who's my alderman? Oh, Ken Coach, I love him. I think he's my alderman too. So I was running, but I knew I was running more of a, you know, just something different. I think I lost by, what, 13 votes or something. So it was tough. 35.
No, 35. Not that anyone's counting.
Not that anyone's counting at all. It was rough. So, you know, to kind of, you know, you got to try sometimes. So.
And our boys were schoolmates.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's that one.
And it's been really nice to, even when I did win, because I've lost a couple of elections, a couple, it's been really nice to get to the community, get to know residents of this town. So it's been a fun being on the park board and being part of this community. So I say I believe, but I'm excited to go back home for born and raised. So with that, thank you so much.
Well, Amy, thank you. Congratulations. Excellent. Well, Amy, thank you very much. And obviously, you can always Zoom, and you know how to get a hold of me. You're still here if you leave. Oh, she's getting ready to leave. Okay. Is that Randy back there? Randy, hey, good luck in Arizona, wherever you're going. Okay, next, we have something not on the agenda. We also have a recognition. Jason, I can't see you, but Jason Peterson here, he's actually, I guess you could say he's going to replace Amy. So Amy is leaving the county board, and Jason, he was fortunate enough to get elected to the county board. So Jason, I have a certificate for you. I don't know where you are. Oh, there you are. You keep bopping around on the screen. I don't know if you can all see the screen, but he just bops around here. So I'll read this, Jason. The mayor and city council of the United States of Yorkville present this certificate to Jason Peterson with our deepest gratitude for many hours, and I will stress many hours of service that he provided to the residents of Ward 4 during his years in the city council from October 2018 through November 2022. And Jason, I will say thank you and congratulations. I'm excited for your next opportunity. I came from the other side that you're going to, the evil side, we'll call it now. But the county has some great responsibilities, and I know you'll do a great job, and I'm sorry you couldn't be here. And then also we have this lovely, it's a lovely certificate for you. So thank you very much. Are you feeling better? Are you feeling better, Jason?
I think the flu is going through our house, so hopefully we're done before Thanksgiving.
That would not be good if you weren't done before Thanksgiving. But thank you very much. I appreciate it. And you, your first day is December 5th, I think, right?
Yes.
That's just 2 weeks away. Well, congrats, Jason.
Quick.
Yeah, time flies, doesn't it? I remember seeing you 4 years ago, and I said, Jason, I said to you, I said, I'm not asking you to take a position, I said, but I'm going to win. That's what I told you. And you said the same thing to me. You said, I want to run, and you said, I'm going to win. I said, I know you will. And he worked hard. Jason worked real hard. So congratulations, Jason. But you have a whole meeting here you can participate in, but thank you very much for your service.
Thank you, guys.
I could shake your hand, Zoomly, or whatever they call it. Excellent. Okay. Do we have any public hearings tonight?
Nope.
So next we have citizen comments on items on the agenda. If there are any citizens who would like to comment on items on the agenda, please step forward. I see none. Next, we have a lengthy consent agenda. Mr. Funkhauser, this must make you happy. And are you making a motion to approve? Is there a second?
Second.
I like that. I saw Mr. Koch before I heard Mr. Pulitzer or saw Mr. Soling. And as Mr. Funkhauser will always remind me, there's no discussion. Roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Pulitzer?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Thank you. I have to make sure I go to the next correct page. That was like a whole page of items there. Now we're on to the mayor's report. So as I do most often, I report on things that are not on the agenda. And I would like to report that we had the Christmas or holiday? What do you call it, Tim? I want to be PC tonight. I'm sorry?
The weekend was the holiday celebration.
The holiday celebration for Thanksgiving, Christmas, all the different holidays. And we had the Christmas tree lighting and the parade on Friday night. It was a little breezy, but it was a nice turnout. And then we had Saturday, we had the 5K, but before the 5K, we had the 1 mile family fun run. And that was new this year. Tim, why don't you talk about that?
This is something new. We had some parents reach out to us saying that the 5K was a little too long for the kids and something to do with the family. So we decided since it's a family event to add a new event this year. It actually had a better turnout than the 5K this year, so it's great to see.
It was a great turnout, and that was in cooperation with the Legion, correct?
The Legion and the
Knights of Columbus, yep, they participated, and it was a good time. It was nice to get the community together, and Tim and his staff, they heard the comments from the residents, and they said, let's do this fun run, and it was a good time. I don't want to say I ran the mile, I ran a block or half a block and walked. And anyway, it was a good time, so Tim, thank you very much, I appreciate it. Now we're on to the tax levy. This is very important. I'm looking for a motion to approve the tax levy and a resolution requesting a separate limiting rate for all city funds and an ordinance for the levy and assessment of taxes for the fiscal year beginning May 1st, 2023. Mr. Tarulis,
yeah.
Second by Peterson, ending on April 30th, 24. Discussion, roll call, please.
Pulitzer?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Next, we have well number 4 rehab, a balancing change order. I'm looking for a motion second to approve.
So moved. Second.
Is that Merrick and Transier?
Got it.
Okay. And actually, this came a little bit under. Was about $60,000 under? Is that correct?
56.
This is just bookkeeping. Any questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Thank you. Item three, we have the Grand Reserve Tuscany Trail Maintenance Bond Release. Is there a motion to approve?
Mm-hmm.
Funkhauser, second?
Second.
Merrick? Discussion? Everything was complete, correct?
Correct.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Next. Am I reading that right?
Yes.
Number six?
Yeah, it was our revised agenda.
Oh, okay.
So we had to add an item.
Pulled, okay.
Yeah, it's out of order a little.
I didn't catch it earlier. It's item six, but it's next item on the agenda. Next, I'm looking for a motion to approve the authorization for the acquisition of certain easements for the construction of 8,500, that's 8,500 linear feet of sewer line. Is there a motion and second? Soling, second?
Second
by Funkhauser. This is for three properties and six easements. Three are temporary and three are permanent. Eric, Brad, anyone want to add anything? Questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
So, one other item that's not on here, and I failed to mention earlier. I had a resident contact me. And asked, again, we don't have a resolution, asked in light of the terrible calls in the Argentina game this morning that we condemn FIFA's officials for the World Cup, so I'm just doing that as a proclamation. So there, I told this person I would do that. I didn't watch the game, it was 4 a.m, I was sleeping. Just shocked to see Argentina lost. They were going to tie the world record for most consecutive non-losses, and they lost. Nonetheless, Public Works, is there a Public Works report?
You handled my last three items, which I wanted you.
Oh, oh.
So I have no report.
Fantastic.
You
like the sweatshirt. I like that a lot. ILL, I&I, right? Next, is there an EDC report?
Mr. No Peterson? Report.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Peterson, that's your last no report ever, isn't it? Well, for this group. Yes. Okay, that was the answer, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, public safety report.
Three items this evening.
Please proceed.
First is a motion to approve an ordinance amending Title V of the Yorkville City Code as it relates to the police commander and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
There's second. Second by who? Saber, okay. Any discussion? This just creates the position that we've approved. Is that correct, Mr. Jensen?
That's correct.
Thank you. Roll call.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Next is a motion to authorize Squad M1 to be sold to the salvage yard and Squad M22 be sold at auction or on consignment through Auto Smart of Oswego.
Second. I think I heard Coke. Or I saw Coke. Okay. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Coke?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Finally, a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the purchase of two Interceptor SUVs from Merrow Brothers Ford, Greenfield, Illinois, in 2023 in an amount not to exceed $142,000 from the FY24 budget and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
And Mr. Jensen, this is so we can reserve these things for several months out, correct?
That's correct, yes. There were several vehicles that they could not fill orders on last year. They did order a large amount of vehicles for 2023. They're requesting agencies that are going to purchase vehicles get on that list. So you're requesting to get on that list. If, for example, we don't pass the FY24 budget where the vehicles are approved, we can take our name off that list and there's no cost to the city, no loss to the city. So this would just allow us to put our names on that list.
Thank you. Questions or comments? Interceptor, it sounds like a military thing there, like a missile. Roll call, please.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Anything else?
That's all I have. Thank you.
My pleasure. Admin report?
No report.
Nothing at all? Very nice. Park board. Amy? Tim? Either of you?
I just one thing. Basically, if anyone missed me, Santa this past weekend, there's still two more opportunities to see these within the city. December 3rd, we're doing a breakfast with Santa with Senior Services, and then the library has Santa visits on Saturday, December 10th.
And Amy, are you going to be Mrs. Claus? Or? You have that laugh down. It's nice that you would attend a meeting as a park board president. Thank you. Planning and Zoning Commission. First item, we have PZC 2022-18 and EDC 2022-67. An ordinance granting a signed variance for the property located, signed variances, plural, for the property located at 302 North Bridge Street, Cork, Keg, and Liquor. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Peterson, is there a second?
Second.
I saw Solon first. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. And the next one is a motion to approve the 505 East Spring Street 1.5 mile review. That's unincorporated, correct, Christy?
Correct.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Transier, second by Merrick. Christy, there's no issues from staff, correct?
Correct.
Okay, roll call, please.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. City Council report. City Clerk report.
No report.
Community and liaison reports. Mr. Funkhauser, sorry. For the record, Mr. Funkhauser.
Jensen does not want to say that. Thank you. And this year again, the Yorkville Police Department and the Lions Club of Yorkville Apartment Room, Corporate Shop with Top. This is a very good program that the police department puts on, helping families and children who have struggles, difficulties, whether financial or other needs throughout the season. They go through a fundraising process. They select certain families that have needs of varying types. They go out, they shop, and then what we do is there's a celebration over here at the library. They're actually a partner with us, and Santa's there. They have treats, and we're able to celebrate Christmas with these families. We have actually Target as a partner, and we also have Restore Church is another partner with this, which I got this year. There are several dates that are in here that we have for the shopping. Get wrapping all this, our club and the police department. We have quite a few volunteers that are signing up for this to do this. If anybody's willing to make a financial contribution for this, it's an excellent opportunity to help us be able to shop for these kids and give them a Christmas that they might not otherwise have. It's a way to have a bright spot for these kids who have that sort of. So, Hugh Jensen and Sergeant Fitzmeyer from the PD who's done a great job of organizing and seeing this through for several years. It's been great that the Lions Club has been able to partner and be part of this. I know there's a lot of great things that you've seen from this. So if anybody has the opportunity, you can reach out to Sergeant Fitzmeyer if you would like to donate, or if you have other questions, you could ask myself or Chief.
Thank you. Mr. Jensen?
You said it exactly like that.
That's awesome. Kiwanis does a lot of great things, so I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Funkhauser. Any other community liaison reports? Staff report?
No report.
Mayor's report? Continue. We always abbreviate that. I don't know why, but it saves a little ink. I have nothing else personally. BART City building updates?
Just our public works facility study should be ready for presentation, hopefully, at the next city council meeting. And just for context, we had an ultimate plan last discussed and seen by city council almost 12 months ago. Since then, we've refined it down to a much tighter plan, saved a little bit of money. And then we actually have a third option, which is kind of a hybrid parks public works facility at another reduced cost. So we have two or three options to pick through, and then after we pick that, we're on our way towards building planning, which rolls in budget season. That's my only building update report.
Thank you. Any questions on the buildings?
I do.
Oh, Mr. Peterson.
I know a lot of the car manufacturers are going electric within the next 5 to 10 years. Do we have any plans to put any electric charging stations at the new building or anywhere else throughout town? I think the only one in town we have right now is in front of Kohl's.
Yeah, nothing in town that I'm aware of on public facilities per se. I do know that some of the private landowners, big boxes, other developers and entities, they're allowed to do that within their parking lot themselves. And I've heard that some of them have interest in doing so, but nothing that's come in front of the city yet, as far as I know. At the Prairie Point building, in conjunction with our solar proposals, which hopefully will be in front of the city council here in the next few weeks, there should be an offshoot component of it that would have a solar charging station basically at Prairie Point. Not necessarily with the same vendor or under the same contract, but we're talking about solar panels, so a natural adjacent use would be a couple of charging ports there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Water study update?
Yes, I do have a brief PowerPoint, which I'm going to share here and then get underway and jump in front of the podium here, so just bear with me. Check into it and found CMAP is actually projecting us to lose population between
30, which is wrong and inaccurate. And so we set a course basically 4 to 5 weeks ago to notify CMAP of the issue and then hopefully get a fix, which still has not come in front of us yet. So, and I'll get into the details here, but first, just so everybody's aware of why this is a big deal. So, CMAP is a Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning. They're actually a municipal government authorized by the state to do regional planning. So, within the state statute that creates CMAP, it talks about how they're supposed to be the streamlined, consolidated regional planning agency to do basically everything as it relates to the Northeast Illinois region, so the 7-county area, and to better integrate plans for land use and transportation. So they are a quasi-regulatory agency that's focused on planning, transportation, land use, fund distribution, etc. So their board, just to give you an idea, 15 board members, so one from each of the county, except Kane and Kendall gets lumped together because of population. Five from the city of Chicago, and then five from Cook County. So generally, those mayors and county board chairs are supposed to pick through there. So there is elected representation on this board, of which we have two close allies in Jeff Shelkey, who's the mayor of Batavia, and then Matt Raleigh, who's the mayor of Montgomery. They represent us in various forms of fashion on CMAP. So just to get an idea of what they do. So this is within the state statute. I'm just including some excerpts. They're supposed to be the authoritative source for regional data collection, etc. They're supposed to create data that provides, you know, basically every that is available for all of us to use for different planning issues, economic development as it comes up. So they create a comprehensive plan, similar to how we do every 5 to 10 years. So their current comprehensive plan for the entire region is called the ONTO 2050 plan. It's a 1,000-page document, contains all this data, plans, our metro extensions in there, our water source project is in there to different degrees. And so it's supposed to coordinate everything with the region, that way we don't have a hodgepodge of planning efforts going on. So again, they're supposed to be it. They're supposed to review everything and help us through our sticky issues as they pop up. So again, these are state statutes excerpts. We're talking about land use, transportation, transportation systems, forecasting, overall growth and change in the region, a list of areas for public investment, transportation, and kind of how we rank within the area so that, you know, when big dollars come in from the feds, they basically can be funneled into CMAP, or at least they can be the technical staff for the kind of divvying up the public funds, and then it gets shipped out to different projects around the region. So here's the population projection that we objected to. So here's our census data on the left side, which generally shows us, you know, growing in 2004 from 8,700 people to 21,000. And then in 2040, so this is released in 2018, so it's their 2040 plan, 20 years in the future. They show that we're going to grow from 18,000 people in 2015 to about 47,000 there. So we've done various population projections in-house, we're talking to developers, looking at historical growth records in Yorkville, in the region, and, you know, we said, this is great, we use this for economic development, 47,000 people, you know, maybe it's aggressive, maybe it's not. Historically, we've actually beat CMAP population projections, didn't make anything up. Then, when I was alerted to this data from IDNR, pulled it up, it shows us at 21,500 in 2020, losing about 900 people in 2030, gaining a few of them back in 2040, and then ending in 2050 at a grand population of 24,600. Anybody that sat through our budget presentations and our subdivision growth knows that we're hopefully crossing the 25,000 threshold anywhere from now to a couple years from now, depending on how we'll see things. So just as a general point of reference for the next few slides, Yorkville's population per household has historically been anywhere from 2.5 per house to 3 per house. So you can use 3 as a good frame of reference for when you add a house, you add 3 people in general. Okay. So here's this is the chart from the previous page. You can't see it, it's on the top. Okay, so that's the same, you know, 21,000 to 24,000 to 2050. So those next two charts are excerpts from their actual data set that show how many households we're adding and how many people we're adding. So that shows between 2020 and 2030, they expect us to build 781 homes and lose 897 people. Then in 2040, they expect us to build 1,100 homes and lose 2,300 people. And so on in 2050, building only 800 homes in a decade, and 1,600 people adding there. So less than two, or right around two per, people per house, you know, between 2030 and 2040 and 2040 and 2050. Just to give you an idea, Yorkville's busiest year ever was 2006. We built 997 homes in a single year. We built 300 homes in the month of December when Centex and a bunch of other developers came through to pull the building permits before the housing collapse. So things can get pretty busy around here, much more than what CMAP says, which, you know, it's a regional entity. They're not going to get every town right. I give them that. Degrees of difference on growth is fine. Showing population loss despite housing growth is not fine. So just narrowing this down here again. So this is that top chart, 2020 to 2030. Again, they're showing us that we're going to build 781 homes. In this decade already, in 3 years, we've built 983 homes. So they've already exceeded their decade estimate in 3 years. Granted, that 2020 number is going to include some homes that were constructed before the census was conducted in 2020 and reflected in those figures. So even if you toss all of 2020 out the door, you've got 460 homes or so, or I'm sorry, 660 homes that have been built in 2 years. And we're on pace, obviously, to do similar numbers in 2023, housing economy notwithstanding, obviously. So just this is not just the Yorkville issue. And my initial point of contact with CMAP was, we have a Yorkville issue. It might result in us having an issue with our Lake Michigan water permit. Please correct it. To the CMAP's credit, their staff has listened to our complaints. They have offered a workaround that IDNR has agreed with, where CMAP is actually going to write a letter that says, IDNR, please use our 2018 population estimates for this IDNR water application because you've been planning it since 2016. So that's this is probably a more accurate representation of their growth. Okay. So as I'm going through this data set, I'm looking at all these other numbers, sorting it, cross-checking it, making sure it's okay. And I found the other issues within the region. Streamwood, number one problem in the data set. 39,000 people currently, they're projecting they're going to lose 12,000 people. A reduction of about 30% in their entire city in a decade. So even though they're going to build 484 homes. So that's a problem. Cicero, I think it's number two or three on the list, again, 85,000 currently, says that they're going to build 3,600 homes this decade. I don't know where they're going to go with Cicero, but they're still going to drop by about 12,000 people. Off in the States, again, another high growth area, 52,000 residents currently. They're going to build almost 2,000 homes this decade, but they're still going to end up with 43,000 people in 2030. Prospect, same deal, 56,000, they're going to build 1,600 homes and lose 8,000 people. Glenview, again, North Shore, rich community, 48,000 people, they're going to build 900 homes, and they're still going to drop 6,000 people in a decade. Pine Creek Grove, obviously this is the outlier of the entire data set, they said that they're actually going to go from 10,000 to 6,000 people, which is in line with all those other data I pointed out, but they're also going to deconstruct or lose 1,200 homes somehow in the process. Schaumburg, again, just so that you have an idea that this is not just on the negative end of the spectrum. 78,000 residents, they're going to build 7,200 homes in a decade, but they're still going to lose 400 people. Just give you an idea of what we're talking about here. So Youngstown, Ohio, decimated by foreclosures, urban decay during the Great Recession, big deal. Over a 40-year period, they lost 15% of their population. Detroit, obviously, is probably the gold standard, at least for, you know, those types of
gold standard for losing people.
So they lost 60% of their population. They're currently at 600,000 in the municipal limits of Detroit. More than 1.9 million. That was over a 70-year period. So it took them 70 years to lose that. And they're projecting CMAP within this data set. Streamwood's going to lose 32%. Gulf States is going to lose 17% within 1 year. Not possible. So, and just to give you an idea of how we stack up locally. So Oswego, they actually have on the high growth side. So they're 34,000. They're going to say they're going to build 4,700 homes this decade. They're going to add 8,800 people. That's about, you know, less than two person people per household. Okay, fine, great. You know, when you look at all of their last construction years, 15 years, they've only built 2,400 homes in 15 years, and we've beat them in that same period. We've done 3,200 homes. So somehow, they've got Oswego growing faster than us, even though historically we've grown faster than Oswego. Same thing for Plainfield. Plainfield beats us a little bit in actual growth. They built 3,500 homes, but we're on par with Plainfield historically with what's been built in the past 15 years. And they have Plainfield as a high growth area, or, you know, feet away, miles away in some cases. So I'm not sure what the actual, you know, justification is for that. And then on the positive side, Berwyn, 57,000. They said that they're going to add 5,500 homes. So again, more than Plainfield has grown, and Oswego combined, basically. Yeah. And that they're going to grow to 65,000 people by 2030. And then Chicago, obviously, to round this out, they're at the bottom of the list on the positive side. Somehow they're going to add 60,000 homes this decade and add 375,000 residents, which has not occurred in percentage or number since 1920. So, and also, if you do the math on that, they're saying that Chicago is going to build 6 people per household, basically, for the next 10 years. So, just so I'm not, out here without reference, here's the link within the CMAP data set that shows this. Again, it was originally published in early October. It was still up this afternoon when I checked it to make sure. And so you can go through and kind of check your own data there. So, again, in CMAP's defense, they explain the methodology behind this population projection. Rather than look at things from a historical perspective, they said that they went through and looked at a parcel-by-parcel basis throughout the region, made some assumptions based on who would grow, on available land, utilities, etc. But then also they have some broader assumptions not working in this methodology's favor, that Chicago obviously is not going to grow very much as a region, which fair, it hasn't in 10 or 20 years. And that household size will decrease, also fair. People are getting older, they're having less babies, no objection there. But when you apply that to every town in the region, spit out a model that has 122 towns out of 290 that are losing population this decade, it is not reasonable or reliable. You cannot use that to make decisions, and that's our objection. So I have raised that to CMAP, and it's just said, this does not pass the eye test. You cannot look at this and go, oh, we're going to use this for planning, decision-making, funding allocations. It's not reliable. So, and that's our request. And I've made that request both to the department directors and the executive director herself. I've said, you know, and I tried to figure out, you know, are you actually using, or is this just an informational chart on the page that, you know, people look at and they go, oh, I disagree with that. And they've said, no, they use it. It's maybe not like a deciding factor or a major factor, but it is ingrained within their decision-making process to reference this data. So our request is that it shouldn't be used for any purposes within CMAP. We want it taken off the website. It should be reworked. They've made some statements that obviously, you know, they're continually updating their data sets. They will do so, you know, a couple years from now, you know, so they do it every 3 to 4 years, they'll keep this in mind. And my point is, you can't make decisions now and shortchange us down the road on decision-making because of bad data. So, and again, we've identified this with CMAP staff as early as October, and then as of last week, when this kind of came to a head, I was having active conversations on a day-to-day basis with mayors and managers in the region, CMAP staff, to just say, like, somebody's got to put the brakes on this and redo it. So so that's it. So questions or comments from anybody?
Anyone? Mr. Koch?
So maybe this is fake numbers because they know everybody's leaving Chicago and coming out to the suburbs. And by if they tell everybody that that's not the truth, that they're forcing people back in the city. That's just how it looks to me.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of thought through different, you know, reasonings or methodologies, and I really think this is just a technical, you know, data issue that somebody looked at, tried to build a model that they thought was reasonable, and when the data got spit out, instead of saying, like, well, our methodology must be wrong, they just went with it, or didn't think that it mattered, or maybe it doesn't matter, but to this day, I mean, their staff has still said, no, this is being used for different things within it, so we have not raised it to CMAP board members directly, other than the two that represent Yorkville through the Kendall County Initiative. So I haven't gone that far, just because, you know, technical staff, things happen. You publish things, something goes wrong, somebody raises it and says, I object to this, can you look at it? And, you know, usually you'll say, yeah, okay, I'll take a look at it and do it. But, and that's based on the, it was a 15-slide, 45-minute presentation given to us by their staff. I think that's all it is. You know, they thought this is the way it should work, you know, it doesn't.
Other questions, comments? Mr. Trent here.
As a government agency, is there some type of formal objection process that we as a municipality can take?
I haven't gotten that far yet. I have been talking to Kathy about various, you know, options that we might have. We hire our own demographer, we hire a PR agency, you know, is there a way to object, and who's having made it there. So I've left one point out on their methodology. Their staff have told us that other MPOs, Metropolitan Planning Organizations, throughout the country, use this methodology, which may be a bigger issue than just CMAP. You know, if the Phoenix area is showing this type of growth, you know, I would say somebody needs to go to the feds or whatever planning agency it is and say, this does not work, we need to redo it. But at this point, it's, you know, they haven't told us that that's the case, for sure.
Pretty pathetic.
I mean, clearly the data's not correct. If you just look at the couple you brought in for Plainfield and Oswego compared to Yorkville, Plainfield and Oswego have a very high rate of multifamily products, which have a much lower population count per unit as compared to ours. We're doing predominantly single family or attached single family, which has a higher density per household. So their numbers do not make any logical sense to me. I mean, I've got information from one of the companies that provides us regional data. They don't got it. And this, clearly this is concerning, because as we're trying to move forward with our water issues, this could derail the entire process,
right?
Because of a quasi-governmental, non-countable organization that is going to railroad us on this one. I mean, clearly we've got to take a position that this is not acceptable and they've got to be responsive, but as their government entity, that's probably something we have to talk about as to what ability we have to work with them.
Not apparent. The appeal process is not apparent at all. Very difficult trying to research it. I will tell you, though, Mr. Olson is doing an absolutely excellent job corralling all the municipalities and the Council of Governments to advise them of the potential negativity this can cause in funding, in grants, in all kinds of things. So as much as we will continue to research the legal process, you know, I know, the experience with a state agency is often better, attention is often better received by media and pressure by those that to whom it will affect us. So Bart's been great in corralling a lot of different resources and people, and places, and agencies.
I will say I do appreciate the quick turnaround on this information, because this obviously popped very quickly and is very relevant at this time.
Just one other question. So CMAP, who is their next level up? Who is that?
So their board members are selected by coalitions of mayors, managers, and county board members within each one of these board seats. So like the city of Chicago, and I'm doing this from memory, so don't quote me, I believe some of them are selected by the mayor directly, and some of them I think are geographic based. I don't remember the city council. The Cook County ones are kind of the same way. It's like, I think the county board chair picks it. Like for DuPage County, I want to say it's like, I think it loosely says the mayors and then the county board are supposed to like get together and pick somebody and like nominate somebody. So there's no election for these people necessarily, as much as, so that's where the accountability stops. It's with this appointed board of this entity.
The governor has no
There's no, and I'm getting into law here, probably it shouldn't be, but there was nothing that I saw that said like the governor can oust a board member or the governor picks people. It is set into statute that this is a CMAP regional planning organization, and this is how the board members are picked. So state statutes obviously can be changed, and so that could be one way, you know, to address the matter if it becomes an issue. I hope it won't. Like I'm hopeful that somebody will just look at this and go, this doesn't work, we need to redo it, and make a commitment to redo it, but at this point, nobody has to.
Is there any plans to be part of our office of these other and address the board?
Yes, absolutely. So I have already started to network with my colleagues and people I don't necessarily know personally, but were affected by the data. Sent them an email and said, you better check this out, type of thing. Let me know if you have any issues with it. And that's, I think, the request at this point is for those towns to just contact CMAP and, you know, ask the same questions we are. How did you get to this number? What is it based on? Can I appeal it? Can you give me a letter that says I can use the 2018 population projections if I have to go to a state agency? And so not only are the mayors and managers starting to see that, but we're also going to, like, our council of governments, you know, Metro West, a couple other places that are like a coalition of you know, mayors and managers.
Other questions, comments? Mr. Peterson, did you have anything?
I don't think so. I talked to Bart previously. Thanks again, Bart, for your due diligence and all your hard work.
So perhaps we should reach out in the next, say, 13 days to some county board members and suggest they have the same conversation, because this does impact potentially unincorporated areas of the county, i.e. Boulder Hill, as they get their water through Montgomery. So just keep that in mind. If anyone has any relationships or might have any relationships in the next 13 days with the county board.
Sounds good.
Is Bart gonna, should he go to the county board meeting and have, kind of have the same thing with them?
We'll figure out a plan. Yeah, thank you. That's a good question.
I have been in touch with the county administrator on this, and he joined me on the original CMAP calls. So I think the word is spreading.
Yeah, and then several members of the county board are actually residents of Yorkville and or Plano or Oswego, which obviously impacts Yorkville the most based on this, but just faulty numbers by complete bureaucrats who disregard the facts, that affects the whole county. Anyone else? Bart, thank you very much. We got a ways to go. Oh, one thing I didn't add for the mayor's report. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. The nice thing about this country is we get to come here, we get to have discussions, people can listen to us and agree, they can disagree. But, you know, in the end, we'll all walk out here and have a good night and have a great Thanksgiving. Beats every other dang country in this world. So, I have no additional business. Anyone else have additional business? I have citizen comments for items not on the agenda. Are there any? Please, if you would like to speak, I would ask that you step forward. State your name for the record, please.
Up here?
Yeah, to the microphone. Yeah, right there, podium. Thank you.
Hi there, everybody. Matt Yingling. I reside in Yorkville. Lived here for 3 years. I live over countryside. Jason, I was with high school with Jason, and he was at home for the next 13 days, and the mayor pointed out. I actually, up until just recently, I was the Grand Master of Jurisdiction of Illinois for the Independent Order of Odd Fellows. The Odd Fellows organization used to have a lodge here in Yorkville. It was established in 1855. The Great Depression took it out in 1943. We have a lodge in Plano. We've had lodges in Sandwich and all over the place. We're a fraternal organization. We do a lot of public work, fundraisers, different things like that. And we are moving our lodge to Yorkville. And the sole purpose of me standing here is to introduce myself, say, hi, I'm Matt. And while we are a fraternal organization and one of the secret societies, feel free to look me up, talk to me, and I'll tell you most of our secrets. And the rest of them, I'll just have to initiate again, and I'll tell you the rest later.
Awesome.
So, look forward to working with all you guys, and I'm sure bringing our organization here, I'll be standing here many more times in the future.
Thank you. Thanks for attending, and thanks for sitting through the presentation. Anyone else like to speak? State your name for the record.
Fred Musell, River's Edge. I had a question for Bart on the water issue. Should we get to the point where a home rule community, would that avoid the problem with the team?
Fred, Bart will be glad to answer that question after the meeting for you, but we don't do give and take at the meeting.
And the follow-up to that question is, how feasible would it be for us to research Fox River water rather than Lake Michigan?
Great questions, and we've done a lot, but Fred, thanks for coming tonight. He'll be in touch with you. Thank you.
Sorry?
He'll be in touch with you, thank you. And have a good Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thank you. Next. Ken, state your name for the record.
I'm Barb from Plano.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for this opportunity to speak at this meeting in this city, in this nation, which is under the At the last meeting, after voicing your desire for a shortened election day meeting, you nonetheless looked into the citizen seating area and gave an invitation for anyone to grandstand for 30 minutes, if so desired. So, tonight I'm here to take a grand stand for righteousness in Yorkville's city leadership decisions, especially regarding drag activity and respecting ordinances already in place. Right living rejoices the heart, gives people light inside, keeps people free, and brings to cities and nations the empowerment by God to succeed. So this is what I'm wishing to stir in Yorkville's governing body, a desire to align with what God says is right and good and clean and acceptable and overall life-giving for the whole person and for our community. Also, Mr. Mayor, at the last meeting, you enthusiastically stated that you love Election Day. I assume this means that you love the ability to choose leaders who most align with what you value and whom you feel will protect your interests in those areas. I would submit to you that the righteous king and just judge of the whole earth has given every member on this council the privilege and freedom to choose your own leader as you serve this community. The options are himself, or a punk, bratty, fallen angel who is a liar, a murderer, and a thief. If you think that Yorkville is doing fine, as is, and you council members do not need to attend to considerations of this sort, I respectfully put before you that the Book of Ageless Wisdom and Holy Supernatural Power says pride goes before destruction and arrogance before a fall. But on the flip side, the same supernatural book says there is great reward for humbly following God and obeying his ways. I therefore respectfully urge you to choose great reward from the Most High God for Yorkville and the council by choosing biblical righteousness as the underlying standard for Yorkville's governing policies, not only drag activity, but everything else that goes into city life. Again, if you as mayor and city council members take a grand stand for righteousness, it will exalt this city. It will bring great benefit. There is an alternative, which you don't want. So, as an ambassador myself for the righteous king and the just judge of the whole earth, I respectfully place the choice before you. Thank you again for this opportunity to free
these. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else?
Hi, my name is Molly Kresge.
First of all, I need to apologize for not being here 2 weeks ago, especially since I just promised that I would attend every meeting from now until eternity, so that was a lie and an inadvertent one, but I apologize.
You're excused.
Thank you. I didn't realize the election lined up with one of the meetings, and we were poll watching. Actually, almost everyone in my group was either poll watching or serving as an election judge last week. So tonight is our seventh meeting about unregulated adult entertainment in Yorkville. In all of this time, only one person from Yorkville has come to these city council meetings in support of the drag shows. She thanked you for upholding the laws, which you aren't, and she stated that the shows were safe because they took place in 21-plus establishments, which they did not. She stormed out, offended by our openness about our religious convictions, without listening to any of our comments and about actual ordinance violations. I think it's possible that what didn't happen over the last 3.5 months is even more significant than what did. In 3.5 months, no Yorkville business owner ever came to a city council meeting to explain why ordinances should be changed to allow drag in Yorkville. They never came to propose that male-female impersonation be removed from the adult entertainment category. No one from Yorkville has come to request that liquor license restrictions on entertainers twerking their bare buttocks in our restaurants be lifted. No one from Yorkville came to explain why it's so desperately important for us to invite sex workers into our downtown establishments. You may have had private conversations with various people, but that's not how this system works. The era of the backroom deal is over, even in Illinois. If ordinances need to change, we have the right to a public conversation. Proper notice must be given, comments heard, and committees set up so conversations can take place. None of that has happened in any formal way in the last 3.5 months. Nobody from Yorkville appears to have interest in that. We were anxious to share our ideas with people who were dissatisfied with current ordinances, but no one from the council came to express dissatisfaction. No one from the council initiated a discussion about change. The topic was never added to the agenda. Nobody sent it to committee for debate. The shows were simply allowed to continue with the mayor's blessings without any legislative effort to protect kids or mitigate secondary effects on the community. You recklessly and illegally unleashed adult entertainment on downtown Yorkville without even making the slightest attempt to plan for regulation or oversight. Even after we discovered together over the last 3 months that oversight is decidedly necessary. At this point, what choice do you have but to uphold the published law? Are you willing to gamble tax dollars and the security of our community on the hope that the Supreme Court will overturn their 46-year-old doctrine and begin to support your opinion that importing half-naked adult entertainers and sex workers dressed in drag won't have secondary effects on rural Midwestern towns? Tennessee, Texas, and Florida have introduced legislation that will move them quickly in the opposite direction, implementing the very laws that we already have here in Yorkville, plus others that will criminalize exposing minors to drag. Our modern Yorkville forefathers knew what they were doing. Our laws are good, and they are necessary now more than ever. For the most part, Americans are sick of having to pretend to accept fringe sexual deviations as mainstream, especially where our children are concerned. We have no less love for the individuals that make up that fringe minority, but we will no longer pretend their behaviors honor their creator's plans for their lives or for the lives of our children. You guys are going to be shocked by the way that God returns his nation back to upholding biblical values. I caution you against forcing gender-bending ideology on Yorkville via the legislative process, but ultimately, the final decision is yours, and all I can do is warn you. We have been here meeting after meeting asking you to do nothing more or less than the job you were elected to do, uphold published law. I appreciate the fact that you have and are entitled to your own opinions, but respectfully, they don't matter when it comes to enforcing the existing laws. If you don't want to enforce the laws we have on the books, attempt to pass new ordinances. by following our city's open and transparent process. Don't just ignore law. Tyrants rule by their own whims. Leaders uphold laws and facilitate discussions about revising them if necessary. I recently submitted a FOIA request to the state for the Illinois Liquor Control Commission's investigation report into the now famous show that took place at South Bank Original Barbecue on June 11, 2022. This complaint never would have been submitted if Mayor Purcell had been willing to hear my comments and my concerns back in August. Instead, he insisted that I was motivated by bigotry from the first second that I ever got a chance to have a phone conversation with him. After an ignored email and three ignored voicemails, he refused to have a meeting with me, insisting that the parking lot of a Lisbon school, where we happened to come across each other's paths at a parade, was a more appropriate place to talk, and to continue to call me names and make off-topic remarks to distract from the real issue at hand. He consistently denied any claims about violated ordinances, spread rumors and attempt to destroy my credibility, and lied about the legality of drag in Yorkville. At no point was he willing to have a productive dialogue. Even after all of this, my motivation is still not personal. As hard as you've tried to convince me to hate you, Mayor Purcell, I still do not. I still want to hang out with you every 2 weeks. My relentlessness, as I have said, is not personal, but it stems from my desire to restore our city to an environment where laws, processes, and citizens are respected. Yes. We're done being brushed off and ridiculed into silence. As a result of the roadblocks erected early on by this process, I was left with no choice but to attempt to file an official local complaint. After having problems getting a specified form from the city with which to file that complaint, I contacted the ILCC, which unfortunately complicated the lives of local business owners. The ILCC appeals process, and it's crazy because we were just talking about this earlier and you guys were expressing your frustration with it. This appeals process with the ILCC was established to provide oversight in situations like this. But that process was undermined when leaders lied about local ordinances to the ILCC, and they're allowed to do that without consequence. Within the FOIA investigation report, I found a letter written to the ILCC from Mayor Purcell. That's in your packet. It referenced the June 11th South Bank show, and stated that, quote, we have reviewed the complaint and pertinent information and find no violation of local ordinances, end quote. There was no violation of any local ordinances, or there was no violation of any local ordinances that you felt like upholding. First, South Bank is not zoned for adult entertainment. And drag and partial nudity are defined as such in our code definitions. Secondly, 3312E2A of Yorkville Code states that it shall be unlawful for any persons, while acting as a waiter, waitress, bartender, entertainer, vendor, or any other position, to expose his or her genitals, pubic hair, buttocks, natal cleft, perineum, anal region, or pubic hair region. It's an undeniable fact that South Bank entertainers exposed their buttocks. And I have video proof of it, which I made available to all of you. The fact that the statute separately identifies buttocks and anal region and individually prohibits exposure of each lays to rest any argument that one might attempt to make about a G-string providing adequate coverage of the buttocks. Buttocks actually means buttocks in this statute. The video of the South Bank show was part of the ILCC complaint, and I also emailed the statute videos and still shots of the various exposed buttocks from the June 11th show to John Purcell on August 18th. You guys have a copy of that email and the replies in your packet. 12 days before he wrote this letter to the ILCC claiming that ordinances were not violated at South Bank. I requested that he reply to confirm receipt of my email, and he responded a few minutes later, quote, thank you, have a great day, John Purcell, end quote. A September 14th WSPY article states, quote, Yorkville Mayor John Purcell maintains that the drag shows are not violating ordinances. Purcell says that his that he has addressed concerns of nudity in the drag shows, end quote. Confusing, huh? Are the shows in compliance, or are the performers partially nude? Because it can't be both. Furthermore, every drag show taking place in Yorkville is a violation of our published code, as we currently do not have any businesses within the city that are properly licensed to host male-female cabaret. I understand the games that Mayor Purcell is playing. Violations don't become official until he blesses them as such. If he continues with these underhanded tactics, I will continue to move forward. We can finally have that local hearing to determine whether the South Bank performers officially exposed their buttocks, now that I have the FOIA requested complaint form that he avoided giving us back in August. But I would rather not put the owners of South Bank through that. Honesty, on Mayor Purcell's part, will end this without any further legal action. A September 15th Shaw Local article states, quote, the mayor said that he had contacted both Pins and South Bank about the shows and compared it to telling a homeowner to cut an overgrown lawn. Purcell stated, we don't give them a ticket. We politely say, can you please cut the weeds? This isn't the first business I've had to talk to in 3.5 years as mayor, end quote. The discomfort by being forced to view your neighbor's untidy lawn doesn't even compare to the damage done by performing half-nude outdoor drag shows in front of children.
That's right.
But I will play along for a minute. What gives a leader the right to approach a homeowner about long grass? Specifically, Section 415B7B of the Public Health and Safety Ordinances that prohibit weeds and grasses from exceeding the height of 8 inches. The fact that the homeowner has broken an ordinance gives the right to approach a homeowner and request action. What gives a leader the right to approach South Bank about drag and exposed buttocks? Disregard for the ordinances. Yet Mayor Purcell told the ILCC that no ordinances were violated during the June 11th show. Perhaps he has too many friends involved with this particular complaint to make an impartial ruling. An October 12th Shaw Local article states, quote, city code prohibits the display of buttocks, but Purcell, who serves as the city's liquor control commissioner, has previously stated that he talked with the businesses and that they are now in compliance with the ordinance, end quote, which implies prior non-compliance. These press releases are manipulative. The contradictory messages being sent cause unnecessary confusion and division within the community, and the lies have sabotaged the process established for state oversight. It needs to stop. I'm told that all politicians operate this way, but they only do it because we tolerate it. Tonight, we're here to ask you to be truthful and to uphold ordinances. It's actually absurd that we need to come here and request that you do those two things.
That's right.
I was asked by a few members of the council to prepare a written statement of our specific requests. I think we've been fairly clear for the last 3.5 months about our requests, but we were happy to prepare the statement, and I will read that statement now. You also have that in your packet. To whom it may concern, and I'm hoping that's all of you here, we, the undersigned citizens of Yorkville, request that the mayor and city council operate in truth and uphold and equally apply law with respect to adult entertainment that is currently being allowed to occur in Yorkville. We ask that the mayor or city council do the following. One, send a new letter to the ILCC explaining that South Bank Original Barbecue was not properly zoned to host male-female impersonation on June 11th, 2022, per Yorkville codes, and that the exposure of buttocks during the show violated Liquor Control Ordinance 3312E2A. Two, inform business owners and the general public that the South Bank Original Barbecue show violated Liquor Control Ordinance 3312E2A, and that all drag shows are defined as adult entertainment within the Yorkville codes, requiring special zoning and licensing. Number three, consistently uphold and equally apply all written and published Yorkville ordinances. This is all we ever wanted. I don't think it's too much to ask for our leaders to be honest with us, to be honest with state investigators, and to uphold the law. Thank you.
Anyone else? State your name for the record, please.
my name a secret because I do not feel comfortable saying this. People know me because I know there are some things about me at my school district that people think. However, I feel as if these things have to be said, so I will say it in this name. Alden, I have only a few quick questions to ask.
We don't have a discussion here.
No, it's rhetorical.
I'm sorry?
It's a rhetorical question.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
What are we granting by the First Amendment in the United States of America Constitution? Freedom of speech, press, self-expression, and religion. Are we not? We are. To me, I'm going to address it. I feel there is
a... Speak into the microphone.
We can hear you.
We feel there is a feedback.
I
am
very offended. Honestly, I do not really care what anyone has to say because I have done my own research because I wanted to make sure these things that I've brought to my attention two times I've been here were actually a thing. They are not. These are not something that is in the book of law. It's not. Furthermore, it's based on hate. That's all it is. There's nothing else that is there based on hate. Quite a few of my friends are of those groups of people. I know them personally would say, this is based on hate. This is all it is. I implore you, just do not comply. These allegations against the drag shows are not with a, they are not with rhyme, they are not with reason, and they are not with merit. Furthermore, all they are is based on hate and wanting to bring somebody down. That's all it is.
Yes.
That is all.
Stop the conversation.
That's all it is.
Seems unlawful.
It's only a law of hate. No, nothing else. Thank you for your time. I wish you all a wonderful rest of your night.
Thank you. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, if we cannot have respect between the discussions, I would ask that you would cut them off. It is disrespectful, I think, that people are talking over each other. We give the podium as a respect for the public comment that's here, so I would ask that, I know you are graciously giving as much time as everybody wants, but I would ask that we please not have people talk over us to each other because it is difficult to hear.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Any other comments?
Good evening. My name is Steve Earl. I spoke here a couple weeks ago. So you all do know that by him addressing the audience here, that is a violation of the Bill of Pleas Act. And you as the mayor in charge should have called him on that, as you're calling the mayor to discipline the audience for making comments during his time to speak. Interesting. Because what that person just said here was, absolutely not at all what's being said. No hate involved here. I said it when I came here the first time. I don't care what people do. Live your life how you want to live it. That's the beauty of America. That's the beauty of freedom. They can do what they want. They just have to do it the right way. I can't drive down the wrong side of the road just because I want to. Have to follow the rules. Have to follow the law. So, the drag queen people wanted to do their thing. Do it where it's legal, not in front of children. And that's the reason why you have, and I think I mentioned last time, you're going to need more chairs. I'm serious. And maybe you're seeing that tonight. It's just going to keep growing. Because, see, the thing is there's a movement going on in the country right now, which I hope everybody here realizes. And that is that we, the people, are fed up. We will not tolerate tyrants. We will not tolerate county boards, city councils, mayors, aldermen, city attorneys, city managers, we won't allow corruption. You know, and as what happened in Plano, you know, we stopped that. It's a new day in Plano where we the citizens of Plano, we control our city, not corruption within our council. That's about to happen here. So either you're on board with that and you get in the right lane right now, or elections are coming. Guess what's going to happen? So, wow, Molly, I wish you would have been around back in the day when we were fighting Plano. That was a heck of a good speech. Mayor Purcell, you're responsible to make sure that these ordinances are enforced. And from what I'm hearing, that's not happening. So, and it's really convenient how, well, if I drive down the wrong side of the road, police officers are going to stop me, they're going to give me a ticket. Who knows? Probably think I'm crazy, haul me out the gym. But you guys can get away with it. There's no ticket going to come chase you down if you do something wrong. Unfortunately. But in America, we the people, I think, and from the looks of the room tonight, I'm really, really happy to see that it looks like we the people are starting to wake up a little bit and remember our rights. Remember that you and 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 you, you all work for us. Okay? You don't, we don't work for you. We don't answer to you because you and you and you and you and you and you and you, you all answer to us. That's the way America is. It's the beautiful part of it. So, everything said tonight, I hope that you guys all take heed because it's very serious. Very serious.
Thank you. Good night. Anyone else? State your name for the record, please.
I'm Matt. Amy Sesich, and I guess I'm in Plano now. So I wasn't going to speak tonight to this because, Mayor, I think you're doing a great job upholding the ordinance. I think, a lot of opinions here mean that you're not following the law. Everybody's got their opinions. I think that we just saw what kind of impact this kind of speech and beliefs about the LGBTQ communities, about drag in particular, has on people like Bill with hate. Just recently in Colorado, Colorado Springs, six people, I believe, were killed in a bar where they were celebrating survivors and trans kids, LGBTQ communities. Someone that was so filled with hate because they listened to the rhetoric and the vitriol that comes out of these people that spout scripture. They spew it, and it's poison at the time. And they do it in this mindset of we're God, and we're here to do the Lord's work. It's not. It's just pure hate. And so I wanted to say thank you for your steadfast and doing the right thing with this particular issue. I think one of the ladies said that only one person has come to say that, you know, they thought this was a good thing, that it was in support. There's many community members and residents that are in support of you and what you're continuing to do. Just because we don't come here doesn't mean that they're there. So I wasn't going to speak to it, but since I was here, I did. We cannot let their voices be louder than ours for the kids of that community because it's so dangerous, as we've seen, so dangerous There's been no proof that LGBTQ and trans and drag shows are grooming children. But guess what there's proof of? Clergy. That's where they're grooming. Why aren't they talking about that? Why aren't they out protesting churches? So keep up the good work there. City council members, I know you guys have looked into it. I know you've reviewed the ordinance. I trust our leadership here. I trust Kathy. I trust our people. And I trust that you're doing the right things. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Is your motion going to executive session? Oh, Mike, I didn't know you were coming up. Sorry.
Well, no. Mike Remsky.
Thank you.
So, a lot of that was just said is absurd. First of all, we come here week after week, provided you documentation that this has nothing to do with, really has nothing to do with drag or transgender or homophobic or whatever other kind of thing you want to come up with why we're here. It's about ordinances and ordinances being violated. You cannot argue the law. You only want to turn it into something that it is not. So it's simple. We're here because of ordinance violations. And the kind of speeches that were being talked about, those are the kind of speeches that our forefathers gave. The things that are spewed, religion, out of the Bible, those are the things that our forefathers spewed out of their mouths overabundantly when they created this nation. We've brought this up many times here. So I'm happy to spew what our forefathers spewed.
Amen.
Jesus is our king. We're in control. We are the people. We have an opinion with Jesus.
Motion going to executive session for the purposes of litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of a particular public body has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the public body finds that action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the minutes of the closed meeting.
So moved.
Merrick? Who was sitting over there? Funkhauser? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Cope?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. There will be no action after the executive session. Y'all welcome to stick around. All we'll be doing is adjourning afterwards. So if you stick around, great. If you don't, have a good Thanksgiving. Thank you all. Update for executive session. So I'm looking for a happy Thanksgiving motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I heard Plocher the first time tonight. Who was second?
Amy.
Sessish? Oh, you, hey, that would be Coke because he'd beat your ass. So who's second? Coke?
30%
of the voting. Sure. Okay, Solon. Roll call.
Tarulis.
Aye.
This is doing journal.
Transier.
Yes.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Coke.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Have a great thing.